And welcome back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 1999. This is issue number 167, and I'm your Side 2 editor, Fred Vobey. We had a lot of information on Side 1, as well as a trivia question. Guess what city I was in, and maybe even what program I was on. Give the action line a call if you know the answer. If you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send it to me here at 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you have any questions, you can reach me at 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. The fax number is 419-221-1609. And the members' action line is 419-224-1609. And if you're on the Internet, you can reach me at a brand new email address. That address is fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. We've got our brand new website up for the National Radio Club, and oddly enough, the name of the website is nrcdxas.org. That's NRC as in National Radio Club, DXAS as in DX Audio Service, .org as in organization. So give us a look. Take a browse through our website. We also have several email groups available. Discussions about AM radio in AM at nrcdxas.org. We have FM. We have the DX Change, IDXD, and I think a couple more. So if you're into some of the information news groups, you might want to get in touch with me, and I can give you information on how to join up on those services. Speaking of information, we've got information on two new publications from the Publication Center, and they are After Dark Magazine, After Dark number 9, and following up on its heels is After Dark number 10. After Dark number 9 is a two-cassette series. It features on tape 1, side 1, the 1400 travelogue by John Bowker, and that continues on to side 2 of the tape. And also on side 2 of tape 1 is Radio Bemis, an article about David Bemis, a disabled person who's trying to start a radio station in Las Vegas, Nevada, a story via the Las Vegas Sun. I read a column entitled, Filing Your Comments, Getting Your Thoughts Known by the Commission. And finish up side 2 of that tape with Sex and Deception. Has nothing to do with the president. This is an article about Dr. Laura's picture scandal. On tape number 2 of After Dark 9, we start outside 1 with Screening Calls. It's an article about screening your telephone service. Has nothing to do with radio per se, but seeing that I get about one telephone solicitor every 10 minutes here at home, I thought maybe some of you would like to know a little bit about some of the screening services. Also on side 1, Selling of Sports. Ken Honestchuk reads from the Chicago media about the money in sports. Is it bad that the big get bigger? An article about the FCC looking into the growth of the radio industry. And finally, on side 1 of tape number 2, DX Audio Service member Dale Hamm interviews veteran baseball play-by-play man Milo at the Houston Astrodome. And then on side 2 of tape number 2, it's 1998 in Review by Scott Feibusch. Scott wraps up the 1998 year in radio with some information from the pages of the Northeast Radio Watch and includes some commentary. This is an excellent article, and it's worth buying After Dark 9 just if you got that. So that's After Dark number 9. And moving on to After Dark number 10, we started off with tape number 1, side 1, which is a visit to WODI 1230 by John Bowker. What's so interesting about this, you might ask? Well, John talks with DX Audio Service member Dave Marthaus, who just happens to own WODI, and they talk about small market radio and what life is like in Brookneal, Virginia. That's tape number 1, side 1. On side 2, we have Radio from LPB. I talk with John DeVecca at Low Power Broadcasting Incorporated, otherwise known as LPB, and we talk about carrier current radio, tunnel radio, free radio, and the movement of micro broadcasting. On tape number two, side one, we continue with the interview from LPB, and then we move on to This American Life's 100th episode from Public Radio International, which looks at, oddly enough, radio. They talk about pirates, unusual radio, and a whole lot more. And that continues on to side two, tape number two. After Dark is a publication which is a supplement of DX Audio Service, and the stories, again, are very long, involved, and really cannot be edited without losing good content. That's why we put them on a separate magazine tape. If you'd like to get a copy of this, After Dark number 9 and number 10 are both $5 each to National Radio Club members and $9.95 to non-members. Contact the Publication Center for purchase and information. You can get a hold of Ken Chatterton, C-H-A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N, at the National Radio Club's Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Department W, Mansville, New York, 13661, in the USA.
And a Happy New Year to all you sports fans. Ken Onestruck back here. And do I have an interesting column for you this time? First, let's start out by saying it's the first time I've ever done a column in which a league that started out the month earlier died. Yes, the American Basketball League, the Women's Independent Pro League, died on December 22nd and went bankrupt. So, unfortunately, you'll have to listen to the Continental Basketball League if you want any action at all, or else the college or the high school scene. One scene that caught my eye in December 31st paper was called Leaving the Field, as college football is a sport of rituals for Keith Jackson, and the one he will miss most after retiring in a few days is his not-so-quiet pregame meditation. Jackson came to ABC in 1966, while the former Marine has been the network voice of the NBA, Major League Baseball, and 10 Olympics over the years. College football is his love, except for the 1970 season when he served as the first play-by-play man on ABC's Monday Night Football, while the network waited for Frank Gifford to get out of his CBS contract. Jackson has been a Saturday afternoon fixture since 1952. The only relationship he's had as long as his 46-year marriage to Turianne, with whom he's looking forward to retirement in Canada. We're going to play golf until we scream and our fingers fall off, and then we'll go fishing. Oh, yeah. The announcement that this would be Jackson's last season has meant a series of tributes and gifts this season. Some have been distracting, others like a month's standing ovation of 111,000 fans at Michigan Stadium gave him chills. But with typical humility, he says if he were to do it all over again, he would keep his mouth shut and simply walk away rather than suffer the farewell tour ending Monday. And when it's time to sign off after the final gun, does Jackson plan to at least say something? The final score, that's all that matters. Believe me, there's nothing there for me. It'll be the final score and who won the game, and Bob will tell you why. That will take care of it. For him, perhaps, but not for us. All right. And now here in the Chicago area, Robert Feeder of the Sun-Times has his Hot Air broadcast beat goes on. Among the mere mortals of Chicago media, this year's greatest awards was Radio Shock Jock Eric Matthew Mancow Muller, who shifted his raunchy morning show from WRCX-FM to WKQX for a cool just $3 million a year, the most ever paid to a Chicago DJ. The seismic impact of this move was felt instantly in the ratings. In fact, his former station, WRCX, was forced to change format a few months later and is now called WUBT, playing Rhythm and Blue Oldies on 103.5. And God love him, Dick Biondi, still going strong after 48 years as a rock and roll DJ, was inducted in the Radio Hall of Fame, along with former fly jock Tom Joyner. With appreciation to those who made it possible, here's our 13th annual salute on the radio beat in Chicagoland. And I never had sex with Monica Lewinsky either, or to WXCD-FM program director Bill Gambo. All these stories about us looking for people like Kevin Matthews are just fake. Just before they hired him as a morning personality, Kevin now is going to WKQI-FM Detroit. They're still crazy about Howard McGee. He was suspended as WGCI morning host after he was arrested for domestic battery. Still 4 weeks later, the local radio industry honored him as the best talent of the year. Here today, gone tomorrow. Jonathan Brandmeier awarded a listener $5,000 laser surgery to remove the hair on his back. Plagola on Peroid. A memo to WMAQ producers suggesting that advertisers should be considered first as guest experts. Quote, please remember to think of the banks who advertise with us, unquote. Survey says it's bogus. WLUPFM sent out a survey to 700,000 potential listeners asking they participate in a, quote, research study on Chicagoland radio. The only station mentioned in any of the surveys was WLUP. That was no lady. That was my wife. Yeah. Okay. WLS AM morning host Don Wade confirming that his co-host Rona has been married for years to him. So sue me. Shock Jock Howard Stern settled his $45 million lawsuit versus Chancellor Media for dropping him from AM 1000 in 1993. Maybe they heard his show one night, huh? Art Bell, who syndicated radio show on WLS AM abounds with stories of UFOs and the supernatural, disappeared after citing a, quote, threatening terrible event to my family, unquote. Without explanation, he returned to the air a few weeks later. Bouquets, brickbats, and tote bags. Gary Deeb, now 53, once TV and radio's harshest, most powerful critic, was hired as a begathon pitchman on the Buffalo, New York public TV station WNED. Did the Oscars start out like this? Despite promises of a star-studded gala, only one of 15 winners on the first Urban Radio Music Awards hosted by WGCI showed up to receive an award. And keeping up with the Dow Jones skis, WCEV 1450 AM became first station to give stock market reports in Polish. And finally here, gone but not forgotten, Lyle Banks, Irma Blanco, Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey, Channel Earth, Steve Cochran, Shannon Dell, Diamond Broadcasting, Scott Ginsburg, Walt Hamilton, Dick Helton, John Hultman, Floyd Calber, Bob Kavoyan and Tom Griswold, Bill Doc Lee, Bill Leff, Roy Leonard, Harvey Perlman, Wally Phillips, Radio Oz, Dave Richards, Rock 103.5, Paul Rogers, Fred Sanders, the sports writers on TV, Sports Channel Chicago, Roger Treemstra, WCFC-TV. And this article appeared in both Chicago the area papers January the 3rd. I'd like to share it with you. From Detroit, The Voice. Through more than a half century of broadcasting Major League Baseball, covering champions, also-rans, and everything in between, Ernie Harwell has always had that distinctive voice. Its soothing tones, with lingering traces of a Georgia boyhood, carry the promise of another spring and the ray of summer hope for Detroit Tiger fans. Now the 80-year-old Harwell, soon 81, who served as radio voice of the Tigers from 1960 to 91, is returning to the WJR broadcast booth for the next two seasons and will be paired up with color analyst Jim Price. In addition to spinning yarns about baseball legends from Ty Cobb to Mark McGwire, Harwell describes the game with accuracy and flair. Decades of devoted listeners have learned to lean into Harwell's wit the way Tony Clark leans into Tim Belcher's fastball. His two-year contract means that he will call the final season at Tiger Stadium as well as the first season at the new downtown ballpark in 2000. He replaces Frank Beckman, who wanted to cut some of the traveling after being the voice of the Tigers after four seasons. He will take on some of the 65 TV games Harwell used to do. But wait a minute. If the rigors of a 162-game schedule are too much for a man in his mid-40s, how does Harwell do it? Faith and physical fitness. Anyway, his return to the radio booth is certain to be popular. Except for 1992, Harwell has broadcast Detroit games on radio or TV every year since 1960. But it is 1992 that is most often recalled. Harwell was fired by the Tigers and JR in 1990 and followed a tribute season in 1991. The firing was one of the biggest PR disasters in Detroit sports history. When Mike Ilitch brought the Tigers, he hired Harwell, 1993, to be the third man in the radio booth. He switched to TV in 1994. Television is nice, but I really enjoy radio because you're in every game and every pitch is a challenge. Right, Harry? And finally, in the current issue of DX News, Jerry Starr prints here the Motor Racing Network list from the NASCAR Winston Cup scene. There are 343 AM and 253 FM stations. If anyone is interested, you can give me a call at 815-774-0184 or send me a postcard or whatever, and I'll give you the stations for your area since there's just too many in whatever period of time. Okay, that's it for now. All the information I have to pass along, and we'll see you next month. Take it away, Fred.
And now, a DX Audio Service editorial. Here is the chief editor of the DX Audio Service, Fred Vobey.
Don't you just love doomsday sayers? That's the name I give to people who will email me to tell me how the Internet is going to kill broadcast band and shortwave DXing. It's interesting to note that all these claims of the demise of the radio listening hobby have come in via email, and not one person has spent a stamp to inform me that I need to sell my Sony ICF-2010 quickly before it becomes a fire sale. In fact, I was even misquoted by a professor at a major Ohio university that the end is near. For some reason, the Internet is taking more credit than it deserves. Okay, let's weigh the options here. First of all, I admit that from a nerd point of view, listening to radio stations via the Internet is kind of fun. I also found it interesting to listen to a station in North Dakota via the Internet just before members of my family who live near Minot, North Dakota, made the trek back to southeastern Michigan for our Christmas gathering. But do I think the Internet will replace broadcast radio? I don't think so. I do think that there are people out there who do get a kick out of hearing radio stations come out of their computer speakers. And again, I can see it could be fun to see how many of these stations you could receive. But do I think that netcasting will replace radio? First and foremost, I'm not one that spends a lot of time parked in front of my computer. I have a life which involves around work, my kids, my ham radio and broadcast band DX hobby, church, and editing a magazine for the blind. No matter where I go, I can take my radio with me, including in the car. However, I do have to say that I've never DX'd from the pew of my church during services. The point is, I don't have to be locked into listening just when I'm in front of my computer. A second reason is best exampled by what is happening outside right now. As I type and read this column, Western Ohio is going through a major winter storm. We have emergency conditions here in our community with churches, schools, and businesses completely closed. While I can dial across the AM and FM band and hear hundreds of stations talking about how to deal with the storm, there is no internet broadcaster that offers me anything of substance. Last night I settled down to the dial just before going to bed and heard four new stations on the AM dial that I've never heard before, all because of the weather emergency conditions in adjacent states. A third reason is that just because someone on the Internet has access to these netcasts does not mean that the rest of the world has that access. In fact, I'd like to see some honest numbers of the number of people with radios versus the number of people actively listening to the netcasting for the same amount of time each day. Finally, and this is a personal preference, I can live with the sound of a distant AM or shortwave station, but the sound of internet radio becomes kind of fatiguing to my ear. It's kind of like listening to something broadcast through a 2-inch wide, 20-foot long piece of PVC pipe. However, I do think that the Internet has helped DXing in several ways. The Internet has provided a way for DXers to let other DXers know when conditions are good. Through listservs or automatic remailing systems, those of us in the radio listening hobby can be advised of the latest changes and new stations to listen for. During the storm in the mid-USA, I've received several email messages alerting me to stations that I might have passed over by accident that are on the air for emergency broadcasts. Also, there is a plethora of web pages with information ranging from receiver modifications to antenna building hints and a whole lot more. So I say, welcome, Internet, to the hobby of broadcast band DXing. And if you are on the Internet, I invite you to visit the National Radio Club at www.nrcdxas.org. That's www.nrcdxas.org. And for those of you who listen to internet netcasting, you will find samples of the National Radio Club's DX audio service on this site. However, I do suggest that if you really want to hear it, order a sample cassette or a sample magazine from the National Radio Club's Publication Center. The club is a non-profit radio club that has been in existence since 1933 and is staffed solely by volunteers. You can write to me, Fred Vobe, that's V-O-B-B-E, at the DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio, 45802. Or you can email me at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. I'm sorry, but we're unable to comply with requests for free samples or donations of materials. So, my predictions for 1999. I think that radio will be here to stay. I think that radio on the internet is fun, but it will not replace the real thing. I think that stations like HCJB will be here in years to come, and that the hobby of broadcast band and shortwave DXing will be around for a long, long time. Put things into perspective and common sense. While it's not coming out of a new 300 megahertz Pentium, radio in its present form has a lot to offer.
What's on your mind? Do you have some comments to make? Call the DX Audio Service Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Hey there, DXers. This is Josh Owens, home for the holidays in Brown Summit, North Carolina, on Monday, December the 21st, 1998. And just thought I'd let you know, a little format change here for you. I was in the Hillsboro, North Carolina area this weekend down there near Raleigh-Durham, the Research Triangle Park. And 1490 WDUR in Durham has changed format. They are now simulcasting with a station 103.9 WNNL in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. WDUR is in Durham. And they call themselves The Light. It's a what I would call a soul gospel format. And they call themselves The Light. It's still WDUR 1490, but they have changed formats. Thank you, and have a holiday season. A great one, that is.
This is Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on December 25th, around 9 o'clock in the evening. I just noticed there is a station apparently on 1650 kilocycles that is broadcasting easy listening music, but there is no ID. This is the first time I've heard it today. Could someone tell me where that station is coming from? It's a new one. Thank you.
Hello, DXers. Old TJ the DJ from Sycamore, Illinois. Hey, I'd like to know what causes cable TV to interfere with the AM band on various spots. Even when TVs are off in our apartment building, we still get buzzing whine on various frequencies when our cable is hooked up. And the reason why I know that, when we had a cable outage, we didn't have the interference. But when what causes cable TV interference to leak into the AM band?
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here. Happy New Year, January 2nd. Yesterday, 1580 KBLA changed format and is now part of the Radio Unica network, and they are simulcasting with 670, which is now KBCA in Simi Valley. And so we knew that something was going to happen with 1580, we just didn't know when. But yesterday 1580 and 670 are now simulcasting Radio Unica in Southern California. Happy DX.
Hey there, DXers. Josh Owens, still home for the holidays in Brown Summit, North Carolina, on January the 4th, 1999. And just thought I'd let you know, I found out about this about a week or so ago, but I haven't been able to call. WQEW 1560 in New York City has gone. Radio Disney, no more big bands in the overnight for yours truly here and all of us in the DX Audio Service coverage. But anyway, now that, and also an update on 1540 WJOS in Elkin, North Carolina, no longer exists. I called today, and they're not even in the book anymore. Talk to you later. Happy next month. See you, bye.
This is Rusty Curry, January 7th. I'm in Springfield, Oregon. Last May, KFXX, Sports Talk at 1520 in Portland, changed facilities and frequencies with the station at 910. In doing so, they lost a lot of coverage, especially to the south towards Salem and Corvallis. They've now done something about that, as KSLM 1390 in Salem now simulcasts with KFXX. I've also noticed a pirate station on the FM band in Eugene. It's called Radio Free Cascadia. I've heard quite a lot of political and social commentary and various kinds of music, such as folk, alternative rock, jazz, and a little country. The signal and sound quality are variable, but it gets up pretty good at best.
Hello, this is Kevin LaRose from the thriving metropolis of Auburn, Washington. Just wanted to report a change in format on 1150 in Seattle, which has been business radio for the last 10 years. It is now Solid Gold Soul. Sounds pretty satellite-driven to me. And they're going by the moniker of KSRB. That's K Sam Romeo Bravo. Anyway, just thought you'd want to know that, and happy DXing.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by Magnetic Tapes. Without tapes, there would be no air checks.
Hello, DXers. This is Phil Wayne, your usual Market Scope guy, with more air checks for February 1999. This month, Mark Marino takes us to Jacksonville. Not Florida. We've already done that. And besides, this Jacksonville is real excitement. Jacksonville, Illinois. So now, here's Mark.
Thank you, Phil. While I was at my school alumni this year, I decided to try and capture the sounds of the radio stations I became so fond of during the 4 years I went to school there between 1967 and 1971. This was in the city of Jacksonville, Illinois. Our first station went on the air in 1941, and it's been doing great ever since. Still sounds good today. That one is at 1180 on the dial, WLDS.
75 degrees, your forecast made possible by Neil Tyron Auto. Neil can do it. Shocks, struts, brakes, air conditioning, batteries, and tires. Your one-stop car care center for all your vehicle and farm tire needs.
Your good name could win you a fabulous spin on world travel. Get your name in today for the 1180 Summer Jubilee and get set to win here on AM 1180 WLDS.
And now for a sports update, we go back to Kevin.
Thanks, Bob. This sports update is brought to you by Birdsells, an authorized...
Well, good morning, everyone. 22 minutes now past 8 o'clock on this Saturday morning, and it's time for the Saturday edition of the Daily Dollar program, our program for the young listeners of the Jacksonville area, and we'll get to our young people's question in a moment. Checking the last week's action on the Daily Dollar program, we've had two winners this week, a $15 winner and a $7 winner. 28 minutes now past 8 o'clock here on AM 1180 WLDS Jacksonville. Music coming your way now. This is the Dell Vikings and Come Go With Me. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. A couple other things of interest. If you're trying to DX WLDS, you won't pick them up at nighttime. They've never been able to get a night license for 1180. And they're an affiliate, as of about 20 years ago, of the CBS radio network. Next, we flip way up the dial to 1550 for a station that signed on in 1961, with a five-tower array directional pattern pointing west toward Iowa. 1,000 watts WJIL. It signed on as a rock and roll station, but after about a year, they decided that wasn't working and went to what we used to know as a chicken rock format. In 1971, they adopted a country format, and that worked quite well for about 25 years. A couple of years ago, they went news talk, and I had a tape of that. But since I've been to Jacksonville, about 2 weeks ago, they changed format again. And this is what they sound like today.
Depend on Star 1550 WJIL for the information you need and the music you love. This is Star 1550 AM WJIL.
As I approach the prime of my life,
Thanks for tuning in to Jacksonville's newest star, Star 1550 AM WJIL. We specialize in the world's best music from the stars that made it happen. Star 1550 AM WJIL, Jacksonville.
Ammonium nitrate and fuel oil were used to make the bombs. Now ABC News has learned that traces of those substances have been found at the two bombed U.S. embassies in Africa.
Now we'll flip the band selector switch and spin the FM dial over to 100.5 for a station that used to be WLDS-FM. They were originally a simulcast of the AM. Number one, they had a bad buzz in their signal all the time until they finally got it fixed after several years. And they had a real weird schedule. Because the AM was a daytime station only, they'd sign WLDS-FM on at 5:30 in the morning. Then they'd shut it off about 8 or 8:30 in the morning. And it would stay off until 4 in the afternoon. And it would come back on and stay on till 10 at night. Well, needless to say, it doesn't do that anymore. And it's not owned by the same people anymore. Now, it's called WYMG.
Hi, YMG. Who's this?
Ralph Buster.
Ralph, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You been trying to win tickets all weekend?
Oh, a couple of times, yeah.
Well, it paid off. You're caller number 10.
Excellent.
You got Moody Blues tickets going to see him in Peoria on June 24th.
Well, thank you.
I forgot to mention something else. After WLDS-FM split away from the AM, their call letters were WEAI for a long time.
100.5 WYMG. Keep listening all weekend for your chance to win Moody Blues tickets. And coming up in a little bit, you'll have a chance to win Quincy Budfest tickets. I am on my way to the HPR Auto Mall All Gone West sale. It's this weekend, all the HPR vehicles all gathered in one spot so they're easy to look over and drive the one you feel comfortable in. It's on West Wabash, just a mile west of Lowe's. I'll be there broadcasting live in just a few minutes from 5 to 8. You can come by and win Quincy Budfest tickets. 0.9% financing on selected models. Now that is a deal you can't beat just about anywhere. Rebates up to $4,000. Hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles all on sale. It's the HPR Vehicles All Gone West sale all this weekend. I'll be broadcasting live in just a few minutes on your weekend YMG. Coming up, we'll kick off another long 40-minute classic rock free ride. Aerosmith, the Edgar Winter Group, and Dire Straits all ahead. The Who next on your weekend YMG. See you at HPR.
All of us, come ride with us.
Here's what you need to know about contests on 100.5 WYMG. The following rules apply to all of our contests, unless otherwise specified. When asked, Illinois 62704. Play fair and don't be a prize pig.
Statistics show.
Another long 40-minute classic rock free ride.
The music that made rock great.
100.5 WYMG, the capital of rock and roll.
For years, WJIL tried to get an FM station. And in 1986, they finally succeeded. I told you a while back that WJIL dropped country a couple years ago, but they didn't abandon the format completely. They just gave it a big old shove over to the FM side of the dial.
Loud and proud. 30 minutes of continuous country on Jacksonville's very own Kickin' Country. 105.5.
The call letters are WJVO.
You know where the best country music is on the radio. I sound like Sheriff Buford T. Justice.
I apologize to all the friendly folk who are listening.
On the only station that care, Kickin' Country, 105.5.
I originally said that the station 100.5 had the call letters WEAI for a long time. Well, they were gone for a while, but not forgotten. After the company that owned WLDS tried to move its frequency or get a night license and failed, they decided to try to start up another FM. And after a while, they were successful. They got the frequency 107.1, and that is now WEAI.
Why do you listen to 107.1 The Eagle?
I can be down, 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 and listen to you guys bring me right back up. Gosh, I just love everything about it. You guys are fun, the games are fun, and good music.
Thank you for making us Jacksonville's number one FM, 107.1 The Eagle.
Jacksonville's favorite radio station, 107.1 The Eagle. That is Jimmy Ray, the dude with the hair. I just can't get over the hair. He's brought back the 50s greaser look, which is cool. Yeah, have you seen his pictures of him? He even rolls up his pants, the pant cuffs of him, and rolls up his cigarettes in his sleeve. He's got the Elvis thing going. This is Boston, Don't Look Back, on 107.1 The Eagle.
Any of the weddings variety of your favorites, we are 107.1 The Eagle. Saturday morning at 9 after 11 today. Partly sunny, hot and humid, calling for a high of 92. Currently, we are at 80.
We're playing all your favorites all day long, in the car, at work, at home. The music you love is on 107.1 The Eagle.
If you're going to listen to the radio, why not enjoy it? 107.1 The Eagle, 19 after that, 11 o'clock hour on your Saturday morning. This is the latest out from Sean Colvin. Nothing on Me from Suddenly Susan on 107.1 The Eagle.
That completes our look at the Jacksonville, Illinois radio market. In case you're wondering, Jacksonville, Illinois is located about 40 miles south and west of Springfield and about 100 miles north and east of St. Louis, Missouri. I'm Mark Marino. Until next time, bye for now.
Thanks, Mark, for some great small market radio from Illinois. Now remember that Market Scope is driven by the listeners of the magazine. If you're waiting for me to come to your town to air check, it's going to be a long wait. So take some time to send in the air checks of stations in your area. You can do it like Mark did, or just record some samples and send me a sheet to read and describe the stations so I can sound stupid. Now please keep it accurate. It would help if you label all the tapes. Now, I know Fred hasn't thought of this since he was sick through all the holidays, but do you realize April will be our anniversary edition? For the April Market Scope, I'd like to do the best and the worst in your market. Record a station in your market you think is the best, and on the flip side of your tape, record the one you think is the worst. The criteria can be sound quality, format, presentation, or whatever else you feel is appropriate. Now, send your tapes to me at this address, Phil Wayne, Best and Worst, 135 and a half Midland Avenue, that's M-I-D-L-A-N-D, Findlay, spelled F-I-N-D-L-A-Y, Ohio, the zip is 45840. Deadline for sending in tapes for the April issue is March 10th. Until next time, hey, get out and record some radio stations for the Market Scope. See you next month.
It's time now for the DXchange.
On our DXchange, Brandon Artman of 515 North Maryland Avenue, Westchester, Pennsylvania, 19380-2255, is cleaning out his shack, and everything must go by March the 31st. Send him a long, large, self-addressed stamped envelope. Money savings coupon available for a limited time only, he adds. Also, Sam Ward of Georgetown, Ontario is looking for any 1950s Top 40 or R&B air checks, scoped or unscoped. He's also looking for any jingles from the 50s from any companies, but especially PAMs. The rare R&B Series 7 is his favorite package. He's also looking for any 1950s car and cigarette commercials. If you wish to contact him, his snail mail address is 10 Guelph Street, that's G-U-E-L-P-H, Georgetown, Ontario, Canada, L7G3Y9. His email address is samward54, that's S-A-M-W-A-R-D-5-4, at hotmail.com. And that's our DXchange.
If you've something to buy, sell, or trade, send it to us on a card or letter. Your ad will appear on the DX Audio Service and DX News Magazine. Ads are free to DX Audio Service members.
It's time now for our CPC test calendar. From the Courtesy Programs Committee of the National Radio Club, we have the following tests. CHUC 1450 in Cobourg, Ontario will test on February the 6th from 0:00 to 0:00. No program details are available at the present time on this test. KXTA 1150 will broadcast Morse code IDs at 31 words per minute at the top of the hour from 0400 to 0800 hours Eastern Time on Monday, February the 8th. Because the KXTA studio feeds multiple transmitters, the code will also be heard on KAVL 610 in Lancaster, KLYF 850 in Thousand Oaks, and KCKC 1350 in San Bernardino, all in California. They have an automated system that triggers their IDs on command from Los Angeles. All stations will air their separate, individual IDs at approximately 5 till the hour. Reports may be sent to Mr. Mike Callahan, C-A-L-L-A-G-H-A-N, K-I-I-S Radio, 3400 Riverside Drive, number 800, Burbank, California, 91505. KTGG 1540 will test on Sunday, February the 14th from 12:30 to 1:30 a.m. Eastern Local Time. This test will be comprised of music in the form of marches, classical, and Christian contemporary music, plus Morse code IDs. KTGG will be using 450 watts non-directional power. During the test, phone calls will be accepted at 1-800-750-9723, but QSLs will only be issued following a written report. Email reports may be sent to lmunn@admin.arbor.edu. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Lewis Munn, Spring Arbor College, 106 East Main, Spring Arbor, Michigan, 49283. KEYZ 660 will test with Morse code IDs and 1,000 Hertz tones at various intervals from 0105 to 0130 Eastern Local Time, and prior to the news at 00 from 0200 to 0600 on Monday morning, February the 15th. Both daytime and nighttime patterns will be used during the test from 0105 to 0130. The nighttime pattern only will be utilized for the remainder of that period. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Earl R. Gross, Post Office Box 2048, Williston, North Dakota, 58801-2048. Return postage must be included with all reception reports. This test was arranged by Bill Hale for the National Radio Club. WILM 1450 in Wilmington, Delaware will test on February the 21st from 0100 to 0300. And at the present time, we have no details available on this test program. KTSA 550 will test on Monday morning, March the 8th, between 0100 and 0300 Eastern Time. Morse code IDs and tones will be used. KTSA will be operating with 5,000 watts non-directional during this period. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Leroy Dietrich, Chief Engineer, KTSA 4050, Eisenhower Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78218-3400. Leroy's last name is spelled D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H, and the Eisenhower Road is E-I-S-E-N-H-A-U-E-R. This test was arranged by Bill Hale for the National Radio Club. KSDR 1480 will test Monday morning, March the 10th. This test will consist of Morse code IDs at 5950 after each hour from 0100 to 0600 Eastern Time. KSDR will operate with 250 watts, their pre-sunrise authorization, non-directional during this period. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. John Wick, WIIK, Music Director, Post Office Box 1480, Watertown, South Dakota, 57201-1480. And this test was arranged by Bill Hale. And that's our CPC test report for this month. Pete Dernbach in St. Louis, Missouri, reports that KXEN 1010 in Festus, Missouri, that's about 30 miles south of St. Louis, is now testing their nighttime facilities. Their power is 50,000 watts a day and 500 watts at night. The current night programming is Spanish music. There was an announcement at 6:30 p.m. Central Time in English asking people to call and give reports on how strong the signal is. He doesn't know if they expect people to call outside the target area, but if you hear them and you want to give them a call, their number is 1-800-313-KXEN. Pete also notes that they have been testing since December the 28th. And from the publisher of DX News, we received notice from Frank Elling's sister that he died suddenly on December 10th. Our sincerest sympathies go out to his family. We also have to note that we have not received renewals from several longtime members, and we can only speculate as why. Also from the publisher of DX News, a copy of DX News mailed to Glenn Thompson in New Mexico has been returned marked deceased. Our sincerest sympathies to Glenn's family. And that's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Don't forget, we've got After Dark number 9 and 10 out. And don't forget to check out the website at www.nrcdxas.org. 73, good DX. And get out and support radio.
It's time to say goodnight. Radio station WWOW in Conneaut, Ohio is now signing off the air. WWOW operates on an assigned frequency of 1,360 kilocycles with an output of 500 watts as authorized by the Federal Communications Commission. WWOW is owned by Contemporary Media Incorporated with studios located at 239 Broad Street in Conneaut, Ohio, and transmitter on Middle Road. This is Ken Vaughn speaking on behalf of staff and management, bidding you all a pleasant good night.